This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. I was in the most amazing elevator the other day, headed up to the top of the tallest building in the Western Hemisphere.
And then here we go into a section that imitates the bedrock on which this tower is founded.
You've seen it, I'm sure, the latest addition to the New York City skyline.
That's the wall you want to look at.
Author and architectural writer Judith Dupre was my guide.
The Lenape.
Her latest book is the authorized history of the 12 years that it took to design, agree on, and then build this tower.
And then the skyscraper
started. Lower Manhattan, there's Trinity Church.
In 1920. Oh, the year is ticking by.
Yep, we're at 500 feet. The years are ticking by. You see the Brooklyn Bridge, Empire State Building.
Wow.
And now look, the only time you see a reference to the Twin Towers, just for a moment.
Oh, my God. And then they go away.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
All right, you know what? It'd be cool to do that again, because that was awesome.
Welcome to One World Observatory.
Wow. That was cool.
The 102nd floor of One World Trade Center is the highest public vantage point in New York City.
Okay, so now we're looking north, and this is absolutely the money shot.
Yeah.
Right ahead of you, Empire State Building. And if you look east, you'll see some of New York's great bridges.
Yeah.
You'll see the United Nations building, the only building by Le Corbusier in this country.
Is that right?
And looking way uptown, the very at the top, you can see George Washington, Bridge, very first Hudson crossing that was built for cars.
Yeah.
You know, people think of New York City as a very exciting metropolis, but the fact is we have extraordinary geology here. And one of the greatest things you're going to see from this window is this rippling pattern of short buildings, and then we go up in Midtown to skyscrapers. And that indicates where the bedrock is, where the Manhattan schist
is. Is that what it is? Seriously?
Yes.
Oh, that's
that allows
so
these very tall towers, which need deep foundations, to be built.
You can see everything from here, right?
You can see
God,
forever.
The river's busy today. Look at that.
Talk to me for a minute about the Port Authority, because its role in the reconstruction of this site, as you talk about in the book, was not an easy one, because it was not built as a redevelopment agency, right? I mean, that's
exactly
not what it's for.
So the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey is a bi-state agency. Its expertise, its extraordinary expertise, is in large-scale transportation projects.
Right.
But they owned the World Trade Center land. And so when the Twin Towers went down, they had the right to rebuild it. I don't think they wanted to rebuild it, but
they couldn't not. I mean, it was pretty clear right at the beginning.
They absolutely felt a moral obligation to rebuild it, and Governor George Pataki, governor of New York,
said in September 2001, we're going
to
do it. Yeah.
You have to do it. And the thing is, it would make sense for the city, for instance, to have rebuilt this. They simply did not have the financial resources that this project needed.
I need a word here about Larry Silverstein, the guy who owned the lease on this land, who I spoke to in 2005 in number 7 World Trade Center as it was being finished out. He was the guy in the news because he owned the 99-year lease on the land.
Exactly.
When the towers went down.
Exactly.
Tell me
so
about
6
him.
Weeks before September 11th, Larry Silverstein purchased the lease to the Trade Center. And that gave him the right to redevelop these towers. 6 weeks later, the Twin Towers go down. And to his credit, he was determined to rebuild. And he was relentless in his efforts.
He was the businessman in this enterprise, right? You had government agencies, you had bureaucrats, and then you had Larry Silverstein who said, I'm out billions of dollars. Help me out here.
Yes, exactly. Larry Silverstein had the legal right to rebuild, but to get his insurance proceeds, he had to rebuild in kind, meaning he had to replace what was lost here. And what was lost here was almost 11 million square feet of commercial real estate. That's why there are no residential towers on this site.
There's a cool elevator ride on the way down, too. I'm not going to spoil that one for you. Judith Dupre and I continued our conversation down on the plaza, just next to the footprints of the Twin Towers and those reflecting pools.
There was a time not long after September 11th when people were saying the skyscraper is dead, that, I mean, we're never going up in a skyscraper again.
Yeah.
And this site had to overcome that.
Yes. And it's still overcoming it. There's a lot of people here, most visited place in the country, but it's also a place where many people are not quite ready to return. But as far as skyscraper construction goes, more skyscrapers have been built since 2001 than in the entire century preceding it.
Hmm.
So we are absolutely in the midst of a skyscraper boom.
Yeah. You use the word morass more than a couple of times in this book to talk about the project, to talk about the bureaucracy, to talk about the construction.
Right.
I mean, honestly, it's amazing anything got done.
Exactly. I think that what's important to remember is that my book is the very first history of this new project. There'll be other histories that come. Something like 85 agencies, organizations, had a legitimate claim to make to this site. Many, many, many people had to be accommodated. There were tremendous disagreements. There were negotiations. Everyone had a right to speak, and that includes a fair swath of the 8 million people who call New York home. And they did. Many did. And everything was considered. This is a place of democracy. And I see it, and I see people visiting and working and sitting in the sun. And I saw a lady changing her baby's diaper on one of the granite benches the other day. And I thought, you know what? Yeah. This is what exactly was hoped for.
You make the point in the book that cities need buildings like this.
Yes, yes. Everything cannot be utilitarian. Much has been made of the delays and the cost down here. There were lots of practical reasons for that, but these designs gave a little bit more. We don't want to have cities that are totally utilitarian. This tower stands as proof. Despite all the troubles and the evil in the world, it is proof of what human beings are capable of. And when you see this building coming down the west side, coming down the east side, you know, from Brooklyn, from Queens, from Staten Island, you think, wow, this is what human beings are capable of. And it ennobles all of us.
I would drop the mic right there and walk away. Boom, what? Yeah.
Author Judith Dupré at One World Trade Center not too long ago, her new book is called One World Trade Center, Biography of the Building. We took some pictures while we were walking and talking. You can see them at marketplace.org.